Okay, I'm going.
Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening and welcome to a special edition of the Catholic Defender Radio Show. Tonight, with your host Don Hartley, the Catholic Defender, we will examine in depth the truths of our faith and why we believe them. Tonight, Don Hartley's guest host is John Carpenter, an expert on a number of apparitions of our Blessed Mother. Tonight, John will lead us in an in-depth examination of one of these apparitions. Here now is John Carpenter, who will tell us which of Our Lady's apparitions we will examine tonight.
Good evening, everybody, and welcome to Journey with Mary. Yes, every week we take a close look at one of her appearances somewhere in the world over the last 2,000 years. And it's not just been a few times. It's been well over 2,000 times, close to 2,600-something times that she's been documented as appearing. And I have a feeling there's many more that weren't documented. I know a couple myself that weren't listed on the official register. But it's something to learn about. Many people don't even realize that she's made these many appearances. Some don't even realize that she's been appearing at all. And I didn't know until about 11 years ago. And then I started studying it, and, well, I really dug in. I've studied now over 100 appearances, and that's still only 4% of the grand total that we know about. So even though that sounds like a lot, it's still just scratching the surface of all the appearances and all the reasons that she showed up. But nevertheless, that's a really good sample size, 100, that we can look at and learn a lot from. We've already seen many amazing patterns that develop from one appearance to another. And these aren't in the United States. They're all over the world. Almost every country around the world has had an appearance. And yes, even Russia, China, Vietnam, India, Japan, Korea, it's all over the place that she's appeared. And so we look at these incidents and we try to gain knowledge from them. We try to piece it together and fit it in with all the other appearances to understand what heaven's doing here, why she's coming to us and what she achieves and what her messages for us are. There have been many predictions, and I will say every one of her predictions has come true. But she tells us anyway that she gets them from God, so how can she go wrong? You know, if my information came directly from God, I doubt I'd be wrong very often either. But that's just something that a person can't make up. A visionary can't make those things up and have them come true. A visionary would have no way of knowing certain things, especially when she was in Quito, Ecuador, and predicted things 400 years in advance. You know, I couldn't even guess 50 years in advance, let alone 400 years in advance. And yet, her messages were right on target for our times. So it's just been a fascinating and wealth of material to look over and sort through and present to you. That's our goal. We want to educate you. We want to pass on the best information to you and basically hopefully inspire you and hopefully put you on a better path in your life. There might be something that you hear that just changes your life or is a good reminder for you. So we do this for all sorts of reasons, but not only to understand what's going on, but to pass on the best parts of it to you so that it can perhaps help you in your life. And so, given that, we will be going back to Cuenca, Ecuador tonight, and it happened in the late 1980s, not too long ago, and we'll get to that story in a minute. But here is my co-host, Mr. Donald Hartley, the Catholic Defender. How are you tonight, Mr. Donald?
Well, I'm just listening to your monologue, and I can't help but think, you know, I'm looking at Song of Songs, verse 9. It says, "My dove, my perfect one, is only one," and the Virgin Mary, the darling and of her mother, flawless, his mother, Mary's, you know, Jesus' mother, flawless to her that bore her, that would be St. Anne. St. Anne bore Our Lady. St. Anne would be Jesus' grandmother. And so the maidens saw her and called her happy. The queens and concubines also, and they praised her. Who is this that looks forth like the dawn, fair as the moon, bright as the sun, terrible as an army with banners? And then in the last days it shall come to pass, it shall be, God declares, that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions. That's why I consider myself still young there, John. And your older men shall dream dreams. Yea, and on my men servant and on my maid servants in those days I will pour out my spirit, and they shall prophesy, and I will show wonders in the heavens above, in the heaven above, and signs on the earth beneath. And that's what this show is all about, John. And St. John says, 1 John chapter 4, verse 1, that if anyone approaches you with the supernatural, we are to test the spirit. What is the measuring stick that we use? It is the Catholic Church, that apostolic witness, that apostolic faith that Christ established, giving the church. He said, he promised the church that the gates of hell would not prevail against it, that he would be with it always until he returns, and he gave it the Holy Spirit. St. Peter was the first pope crucified at Vatican Hill in 67 AD, and Pope Francis today is the 266th successor. So Christ is true to his word, and Our Lady is so important in the plan at Fatima. She gave the peace plan of Fatima and to pray the rosary. So, John, and we got with us, we got Kathy from the great state of Missouri, from Bourbon, Missouri. How you doing, Kathy? And outstanding, good job a while ago. I love that she sang that last verse on Sing of Mary. I don't know if anyone caught that or not, but that was Kathy.
Oh, yeah.
Singing. Oh, you, okay, good. I was wondering if some, but thank you, Kathy. Oh, wait a minute. Whoa, whoa. Okay. Now, thank you, Kathy.
You're very welcome. Hello, everybody.
Hi. Good job, Kathy.
Thank you. That's a verse called Sing of Joseph on the end. It's in one of our hymnals, just one, and I just love it.
Mm-hmm. Very nice.
Yeah, I do too. And we got Mike from New Jersey. Hey, Mike.
You never get that pronunciation right.
Yeah, he does.
Well, I guess as long as you call it New Jersey, I guess I can call where you are Missouri.
That's right. Yeah.
And we got Doc.
In Europe once. Go ahead, Doc.
You were in Europe. We got Doc from the great state of Tennessee.
Hello, Doc.
Hello, Doc.
And Kathy, you have a beautiful voice.
Yes, you do.
Nice.
Thank you guys so much. Thank you.
We'll have to have her do more. So, well, I was going to say, Donald, that I was in Europe once, and they introduced me as Jean Carpentier from the great state of Missouri. I thought, great, I won't correct them. I live in Missouri.
The great state.
Missouri. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, anyway. So, tonight we do return to Ecuador. Patricia Talbot is the visionary, and a very unexpected visionary. This girl was 16 years old, all caught up in shopping and clothes and being a model and pretty vain about her image and her future and wanting to travel and model and all into that. And even at one point they wanted to show her at school this video on apparitions at Medjugorje, and she says, no, I don't want to see that. That stuff doesn't happen anymore, you know, and went on and never did see it. And pretty soon, Mary appears in her bedroom at night, and her whole life changed from that moment on. And that was the last week's story we had started with. But she had a whole bunch of interesting experiences and more to come here tonight. I'll start where we left off last week, where she actually, Mary's voice came through her, and she was writing down stuff that Mary said, but she didn't remember writing it. And then later they were able to read the message from Mary, but they heard Mary's voice through her, which is a rare occurrence. Not saying it can't happen, but they apparently thought that's what happened. And this was the message to all the women who are present in Patricia's house. Message was, "My daughters, I love you very much. Keep yourselves in my immaculate heart and the merciful heart of my son. He is very sad to see that his message does not reach my little hearts. You are my chosen daughters. Put your rosaries on the front of my altar in the bedroom there. They will be under my mantle and blessed by my heart and by this heart of my son. I ask you for peace, peace in your hearts, peace with each other, and peace with your Father in heaven. You have in your hands the mission to transmit peace and the change of the world. Remember that I love you so much and that I am the guardian of the faith. Please stop being lukewarm. I want all to be strong in their faith. My little daughters, stop being selfish. Do not keep all that you have for yourselves. This is my message of peace." Now, what's interesting, after that happened, the ladies immediately placed their rosaries on the altar for Mary to bless. As they finished praying the rosary, the beautiful smell of flowers, of roses, was present in the room. We know what that's like. And
yep.
On December 25th, 1988, which of course is Christmas, the scent of fresh roses and candles, none were present and no candles were lit, but the smell of the fresh flowers and candles preceded Blessed Mary's visit, as another group had gathered to pray. Mary told them, quote, "Rejoice in experiencing the love of God in your hearts. The rosary is the most complete prayer. Do not ask yourself why you pray it. Let it be your shield against the evil one who is at work. Do not detach yourselves of it. The Spirit of God descends upon you. Feel the warmth which enters your heart. My warning comes to an end. I have already said so much. You have the great mission of the conversion of the world. Please, little children, make evil disappear. It is in your hands that the hand of my son be detained, or that you are going to suffer as strongly as the pain of his heart. Do not be afraid, because I am with you. I will pour out the necessary graces on you. I love you much." All right, I'll stop there just for a second. Any comments, reactions?
Well, I got this right here, Revelation chapter 3, beginning with verse 15. "I know your works. You are neither cold nor hot. Would that you were cold or hot. So because you are lukewarm and neither cold or hot, I will spew you out of my mouth." Well, that is very important. I mean, we, and Our Lady is saying, do not be lukewarm. Well, that's good advice. That is biblical. And I will also say that much of what you're saying here, she also says the same language at Medjugorje. She does. And so I think that's very important, because we'll find common themes in Our Lady's, in her messages, from one place to another many times. And so,
I
want to. Doc, do you have any thought on that so far?
Yeah.
So far.
Actually, yeah, I do. I want to go back to the beginning when you were saying, you know, they showed the movie of Fatima at her school, and she's like, "Nah, I don't believe that happens anymore." Like, Mary's like, "Yeah, I'll show you." And, you know, I mean, it just goes to show that, you know, when people lose that faith, God has a way of picking us, picking certain people, and who he picks, it's amazing sometimes, who need it, number one, because they've lost faith. And the fact that they didn't have the faith in such a transformation of the person going from the vanity and the clothes and the model lifestyle of sin and decadence to the life that she lived, that actually in itself, because people don't change like that overnight.
No.
It just doesn't happen.
No.
You know, and just when you said that, she said, no, that don't happen. And then in her bedroom, there it was. Like, that's what I heard in my head. Mary saying, yeah, well, I'll show you. Tell me I don't show up. Mary's like, yeah, tell me I don't show up to people.
And that's a very good point.
Anyway, that was my thought.
That's a good point.
There are those who question that,
because in psychology, in my therapy sessions, I've worked with people to help them change their lives over years, and only a transformation like that happens when something highly significant or traumatic or inspirational happens. You couldn't imagine something and have that kind of transformation. It would have to
actually happen. I can give you one. I can give you one. I was 16 years old. I was helping a guy move, and I was doing something stupid, hanging on a balcony. I was going to jump down, and the railing snapped, and I fell 19 feet and broke my neck. And I got to tell you, for who I was before I broke my neck and who I was after I made my recovery, two different people.
Wow.
Two, I had a complete different orientation and view of life that I did not have before. And it alienated a lot of people because they didn't see it coming, you know. But when I emerged from my recovery, I was without a doubt a different person.
That's awesome.
So yeah. that gives credence to what you were just saying about your people in therapy. That was a traumatic event right there. And
right.
I can attest to what you just said that, yeah, that happens.
So for this to happen to her, it had to be something real and highly significant, not just imagination or fantasy, because that never would have that kind of a transformation. It has to be something very real that happened, yes. So good point, Doc. Yep.
Thank you.
But, you
all
know,
right.
He's had to deal with dogs that have been questioning whether or not any of this stuff is real. And so Mike has a beautiful way of responding to them who question the reality of Our Lady and these appearances and our Lord, because the Catholic Church is real, isn't it, Mike?
Yes, it is, and I just lost my cue here.
And we got Kathy? Did you just Kathy from Jefferson City? Are you with us now tonight?
I am, but for some reason I can just barely hear you.
Oh, well, you just popped
on.
So, outstanding,
oh,
outstanding. Geez.
All right.
Well, I'll come back to Mike. I'll come back to Mike here. Oh, great, Kathy. How are you doing, Kathy?
Pretty good.
Missouri.
I just got back. Yes, I got back from a healing prayer service. It was nice.
Those are
Oh, wow, that is good.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Father Mark Bozada, Bozada, was there.
Hmm.
Oh, that's excellent. That's excellent. And healings do happen at these events too. Many times,
yeah.
Healings do take place.
Yeah.
And so
I hope so.
Yeah, that's
more ways
special.
Than one.
It really is. Well worth going. All right. Well, going on with our story, the day after Christmas, when this group of women was praying again in Patricia's house, the strong odor of incense and flowers both permeated Patricia's house again. And Blessed Mary appeared and said, quote, "Children, continue praying. I want that in the place where you pray for you to organize the wardrobe of the poor and that you collect food for the poor. Children, do not abandon those who have nothing to eat or to wear, because in them is the kingdom of heaven. See in them your Father. Do not be afraid of judgment, because in you is your Father, Son, and Spirit, and I will keep you under my mantle. Do not fear, because the kingdom is near. Do not allow Satan to penetrate the heart which loves God. Little children, know that all that you do benefits the world. Your prayers, penances, and fasts are impeding the Third World War. You, my little souls, do you forget that with prayer and fasting you can deter wars and natural catastrophes? It is in your hands. It depends on you whether the chastisement be as strong as the pain that my son feels, or that it be appeased with prayers," unquote. Now, that's a very important message that she gave there, indicating again how powerful prayers can be, that they can alter wars, prevent wars, stop catastrophes, natural disasters. Yes, all of that can be affected or prevented by fervent prayers. And we just don't realize how powerful that is. You know, in another apparition, Mary said, if you knew the power of prayer, you would never cease praying. And I've always remembered that, thought about that. You know, when I'm not praying, I'm thinking, maybe I should be, because if it's that powerful, what could I be helping? I could be helping something and not even realize what I'm actually going to cause, because no prayer ever gets wasted. Mary said a prayer is taken and put where it belongs. All prayers go to the right places. You know, even if you're not sure where it's going to go, heaven will definitely take your prayer and apply it to the right place. And that's kind of a neat idea. We need to think about that. Any comments or reactions?
The rosary is so important. And I think the family rosary, but if we're praying the rosary, man, we are on the right track. And that's what Our Lady wants. That's what our Lord wants, to pray the rosary. And if we're doing that, just as you were just saying there, John, that is so important. And on May the 1st, 2000, the Association of Mother Mary, Guardian of the Faith, was founded as a fruit of this experience with the Blessed Virgin Mary in March of 2009 at the request of the Archbishop. He approved this. And that is so important right there, because right there you have church approval. So if someone out there is questioning that, what do you think of that? Mike, are you there now? Are you good there?
I am here.
All right.
What do I think if somebody questions what the church has approved?
Yeah, like this, exactly, yeah.
Just a matter of asking the obvious question.
The question is, ooh, let's the dog out.
Okay, well, I guess this show has gone to the dog. okay, well, that was interesting.
It's good, because
I was looking for
we are
more intellectual responses.
Well, wait a minute. Let's bring Doc. Doc, can you be more intellectual than the Doc?
When you were talking about the things that prayer can do, a battle jumped into my head, and I can't remember the name of the battle, but it was basically the Christians against the Turk, and the Turks outnumbered the Christians like 10-1. It was a naval battle, and the where they came from, the Christians pray the rosary. That was the command. Pray the rosary, and they won the battle. It was monumental upset, and it changed the course of the whole war. I can't remember the name of the battle.
L. It starts with an L. Do you remember what that?
Do you remember
that name? Yes, I remember it. Mm-hmm. I was wondering if John.
My son just studied it, and I remember hearing it. And when you were saying, you know, the power of prayer. The things that the power of prayer could do, that's what John, you know, you were listing all the things, and the one thing that jumped in my head is win a battle.
Yeah.
You know, that, because that always, when I think of it, that's like proof right there. Because they were outnumbered 3-1.
That's actually happened a few other times. Yeah.
Kathy,
where they've been severely outnumbered.
Kathy,
so the battle
you know,
I don't have a computer in front of me, or I'd look it up.
He got it. What is it?
It's the battle
what is
of
it,
Lepanto.
Kathy? Lepanto.
The battle of Lepanto.
That's exactly. Exactly. That's it. And I was trying to throw out a hint that it starts with an L. It starts with an L. And Kathy, she got it right there. So
there you go.
You were right on there, Doc, but Kathy, she was right there as well. You are on the same wavelength, so that's what happens when great minds think alike.
Yeah.
It happened on October the 7th. I forget the year, like a long time ago.
I want to say 1300s or 1600.
Yeah,
I can't remember.
I think it's older than that, yeah. I think it was 15-something. But I think it was like 1571. And that's why we have the Feast of the Holy Rosary or Lady of Victory on October the 7th.
You're right. There you go.
There you go. Great job. Good work, team. All right. So on December 28th, 1988, Patricia had a new and unexpected experience. She met Jesus. That's right. He was standing on a little cloud in a long white robe. From his heart came forth two rays of light, one red and the other white. What does that sound like? Like the divine mercy image. Like his mother, his skin was golden and his hair long and brown. His arms were extended outward and down. Patricia saw the wounds in his hands and feet caused by the nails of crucifixion. His voice was smooth, sweet, and deep. And he said to her, "Know that he who speaks to you is your brother, Jesus Christ. Why do you sometimes doubt my presence? I have spoken to you many times, but, my little souls, you are innocent in divine wisdom. Love my mother because she holds back the fury of heaven. Love her in all the good that happens to you and be discreet. I am the merciful Jesus. My heart is filled with mercy. Ask, children, I would like the day of my mercy to be celebrated. Have in your homes an image of my merciful heart. Do not forget that the Father is good. And that I came to the world for you, my beloved ones. I am Jesus, and know that all is in your hands. The time is short, and I'm already very wounded with all that my stray children have done. I love you, my chosen ones." And notice that image
really fits the divine mercy image, the white ray of light and the red ray of light coming from his heart. And here he's talking about mercy. So I thought that's pretty interesting. Without calling it officially the divine mercy, he is talking about divine mercy. Any thoughts on that?
Also, like the Sacred Heart, when he appeared to St. Margaret Mary Alico in 1611.
Yeah.
And gave us the devotion. There's 12 promises that he gives to the devotion to his Sacred Heart, who is wounded by because of the ingratitude of men and people who do not love and do not follow him like they should, and what he did for us. So he's always showing us his love for us. Oh wow, that is powerful. This is really good, John. This is something that is every Catholic needs to hear this, and on Deeper Truth Tonight they are.
Yeah. So Patricia revealed that these visits were unpredictable, but usually during prayer time at home or at church. Many times she would feel a calling deep within herself. And boy, we hear that with a lot of visionaries, a calling deep within herself to go to a particular location and begin praying. She would usually see a bright light and sometimes a wind blowing right before Mary or Jesus would appear on a little cloud. From the beginning, Patricia had made a small altar or shrine in her bedroom where she had arranged pictures and statues along with blessed candles. But on January 15th of 1989, these pictures and statues began exuding oil and tears. Droplets of blood formed on the crucifix. Regarding this phenomena, Blessed Mary revealed to Patricia on February 1st, 1989, that the oil was an oil of salvation for those with strong faith and that the sick should be blessed with this oil. She said, quote, "The Father has allowed the grace of the holy oil, and my tears have been shed for the ingratitude of my little children due to the lack of unity, lack of love. Nation opens its doors to evil and to its own destruction. Love one another, children, and do not hurt the Father. I am the guardian of the faith," unquote. Wow, any comments on that?
Well, something about unity, I think that is so important. You go to John chapter 17, and you go to verse 20, and it says something very important there, since you're looking at that. I can't help it, because you mentioned, he says, "I do not pray for these only, but also for those who believe in me through their word, that they may all be one, even as thou, Father, are in me, and I in you, that they also may be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. The glory which you have given me, I have given to them, that they may be one, even as we are one, I in them and you in me, that they may become perfectly one, so that the world may know that you have sent me and have loved them and have loved them even as you have loved me." Do you catch that right there? So that the world may know that you, the Father, have sent me, the Son, and have loved them, that is you and me and us, even as you have loved me. So basically, the Father loves us, even as he is loved, as he loves the Son. What a revelation that is. What do you think of that there, John?
Oh, yeah. That's beautiful. Beautiful. Absolutely. It reminds me what people are asked when they get to heaven. In my third book on heaven, the big question that everyone is asked is, Have you loved others as much as I have loved you? Wow. Big, big question. All right. Now, here's an interesting thing. Patricia's boyfriend, Andres, had been out of the country for much of all of his time and now returned and was not sure what he really believed. He wasn't sure. I mean, his girlfriend has suddenly taken a huge 180-degree turn and has gone from vain and shopping and hanging out with friends to being wholly religious. So, of course, he's wondering what the heck happened here. Well, he took a dry picture of the Holy Shroud of Christ. He held it in his own hands while the group prayed in her bedroom. He was amazed to see oil coming from the eyes in his picture and droplets of liquid forming from around the crown of thorns. All of his doubts about the apparitions vanished with this stunning, miraculous event. Now, a doctor took samples of the blood droplets and oil from the holy objects. The blood had red blood cells. The oil had human cells in it, but the type of oil could not be identified. In March, Blessed Mary explained that the tears were from her sadness because so many of her children were still so far away from God. And wow. I think we're going to hear later, but I believe that one of the bishops identified the oil as holy oil. I'm not sure, but I remember hearing something about that. But again, a little science there and a little validation that this was not ketchup or some other red pigment. It was really human blood coming from that picture and from the crucifix, and that the oil was had human cells in it. That's very interesting. So they definitely were trying to validate things as they were happening. 18 more apparitions occurred in chapels in Quito, Guayaquil, and Paute. At one point, Blessed Mary gave her visions of hell, heaven, and purgatory. Patricia describes, quote, hell is a terrible place, like a big volcano where you see souls that hate each other. There are skulls and they don't have faces, but they hate and insult God. I saw some of those bishop hats in hell also. Purgatory was like a bunch of hands reaching out and crying, trying to get out of that volcano. While I was there, I heard a voice telling me to pray for them because they couldn't do anything without our help. I didn't go into heaven because I didn't feel I deserved to. There were two choirs of angels at each side of the door. The rosary is the door, and the cross of the rosary is the key to open the door to go into heaven. Let me say that again. The rosary prayer is the door, and the cross of the rosary is the key to open the door to go into heaven. Prayer takes us to Jesus, who is the way, the truth, and the life. The cross that we carry over our back, our sufferings, is the key to open the door into heaven, unquote. Okay, I'm going to let y'all talk about that one.
Well, just first of all, the whole thing about purgatory, heaven, purgatory, and hell, it is reported that Our Lady of Medjugorje took the seers there at Medjugorje to heaven, hell, and purgatory. And when the science was looking into their brain waves, that something was extraordinary taking place as they were being investigated, they were going through this. You know something about that too, right, John? Something about
right.
Brain waves?
The scientists found delta waves, which are not supposed to be there unless you are in a coma. And here they are talking and conversing with Mary, wide awake, and their brains were showing comatose delta waves. Now, not unique to Medjugorje. Patricia here in this apparition was one of them that they tested, and her brain, two times it showed delta waves when she was receiving messages from Mary and when she received the Eucharist from Jesus. Delta waves occurred on both occasions. And again, with even Julia Kim from South Korea, delta waves in her brain, and other visionaries, delta waves in their brain. And scientists cannot explain this. They say that should not be happening. Neurologists say that can't be possible, and yet it keeps showing up with visionaries. Proof that something supernatural is going on using their brains to transmit these messages from heaven. End of story. Wow.
You can't fake it. You cannot fake it. You cannot fake it.
No.
You can't fake it.
No, try to fake that. You can't fake it. It's impossible. We wouldn't even know how to even try to fake that. It's not possible. And scientists said they've never seen that before. So, but I like that about the rosary. The rosary is the door. The prayer is the door. And the cross on the rosary is the key to open the door to heaven. Prayer takes us to Jesus, who is the way, the truth, and the life. The cross that we carry over our back, our sufferings, is in the door into heaven. Wow. Powerful, powerful stuff.
Wow. What do you think of this, Mike?
John?
Mike, what do you think of this?
Well, I'm also looking not only at this this event that you can't fake. I'm going back to the oil, and I wonder if that oil was the oil of spikenard. I have a specific reason for asking that question.
What was it called?
The oil of spikenard was the oil which was used to anoint Israel's king.
I don't know.
And it was the same. It was the same brand of oil that Mary Magdalene used to prepare our Lord's body for burial.
Well, I'd be, that's good questions. Very good questions. Don't have the answers, but very good questions. Maybe someone out there will.
We have to be here another week.
We will be.
Wasn't that why they had frankincense? Wasn't that for preparing a body?
I think so.
Frankincense was more of a kingly gift. You're thinking of the gold, frankincense, and myrrh.
What was the first one?
Gold. Gold because he was a king. Frankincense because he was God.
That's right. Exactly right. Now, this spikenard essential oil is produced by steam distilling the roots of a flowering botanical that grows wild in the Himalayas, believe it or not. Generally speaking, it contains approximately 50%, and it gives you all this scientific essential oil. Also contains low, but automatically, it's basically it has an aroma, and it's used sparingly in blends as to not overpower the aroma of other essential oils. And because it is endangered, it blends well with many other essential oils, including those in the wood spice. But there's just a lot to this, but it's very technical. Very technical, scientific. So, but if this is what it's very rare. Wow.
Well, that oil of spikenard is very expensive. It costs more than a year's wages for the common person.
Yeah, that's why it is rare. But it's interesting.
All right. Well, moving right on. We got a lot of material here. In June of 1989, Bernadita Huerves de Ugalde, an older model you know. She was interested in modeling. This is an older girl who had been entrusted by Patricia's mother to take her under her protective wing, helped Patricia look for a better place, more pleasing, for Our Lady's little children to gather. Mary had asked for something like that, and so they're looking. They traveled to El Cajas, high in the Andes Mountains, at an elevation of 11,000 feet. 11,000 feet. Finding a place where there was a large rock, they knelt in prayer, seeking confirmation that this location might be pleasing to Our Lady. Patricia felt a wind upon her face and looked up to behold another visit from the beautiful Virgin. Immediately submerged into an ecstasy, Patricia heard Blessed Mary tell her, quote, "My daughter, you have sought long enough, and you have finally found the place. It, in this holy place, I will pour forth my blessings on all pilgrims who come to me here." Mother Mary added that she wanted the area fenced off and that a special area called the garden be reserved as a holy place, a sanctuary. She said that the, quote, garden would be a little piece of heaven, and only those she invites should come into it. So basically, they fenced off an area and made it a special holy place or sanctuary in that area of the mountainside. Well, on October 5th, 1989, Patricia and a large number of pilgrims gathered at El Cajas because that was the day Our Lady said was her birthday. Let me say that again. On August 5th, 1989, Patricia and a large number of pilgrims gathered at El Cajas because that was the day Our Lady said was her actual birthday, exactly the same date that she had claimed when in Medjugorje. The Virgin appeared for her birthday dressed completely in white. Patricia presented her with a birthday cake and the birthday song, hoping she wouldn't laugh at them. Blessed Mary just smiled and replied, "One day I was also human, my little one. The singing of my little ones is from their hearts. Their songs arrive to my soul. I am happy when you sing, my little ones." Jesus also appeared again to Patricia and commented on his mother's birthday, stating that she is the most beautiful lady both on earth and in heaven. Quote, "She is my mother. Love my father more than anything else. Love my mother because she will take you to my heart. Tell all of them that I love them. Tell them all to convert faithfully, humbly, and with simple hearts. I want you to pray the way of the cross and the rosary by foot." Mm-hmm. I'll stop there for a second. Wow.
Well, okay, but I have to say that the Universal Church, though, it celebrates Mary's birthday on December 8th. And so that is still, I mean, that is the official, I mean, that is official. And I don't think Our Lady is outright at this point in time trying to dispute that, or I don't think that that's the intent here. So right now, as we are speaking right now, December 8th is still the official day that the church celebrates Mary's birthday, September 8th. Say now, okay, I was just seeing if you were paying attention. Yeah. But I just wanted to make that point. I just wanted to make that point because I think that the Universal Church in its calendar is set up.
Well, Donald,
these things.
Tell everyone where they got that. Where did they get the September 8th date? Because I think that's important.
Well, they got it from angels singing Mary's birthday, and also going back to the 3rd century, and it out of the Bishop of Jerusalem. And there's a very important, I mean, there's a very powerful story there about the Bishop of Jerusalem who a boy, a child, was brought during Mass, and because it was during Mass, the boy was in need of, they were seeking the priest, the bishop's help, but the bishop did not, he waited until after he was done with the Mass, and the boy dies, and the bishop, in remorse, forsakes his ministry there, and he leaves. He's on his way to England, and he leaves and loses the keys of the door to the cathedral. And so people began to follow after this bishop, and they're in a boat and on in the sea on their way to England when they catch a fish, and within this fish they find the keys that the bishop had thrown overboard. And the fish had the keys to that. And the bishop said that he would not go back unless he get those keys back. And that is something, because he gets when they caught that fish that came from a wave onto the boat. And in this wave was this fish that had these keys to that cathedral. And
John,
they had that case. Yes,
that reminds me of a miracle worked by Christ when when Peter was asked if his master paid the temple tax.
Yeah, two coins, and there was a second.
This shows one thing: he didn't run out of money.
That's right. He could pay his taxes. Well, this fish that came in, it was over this boat was swamped. This fish that had the keys, they got the keys from this fish, and when they found the bishop, and the bishop told them that he did not have the keys, they had the keys right there and told him how. So the bishop eventually does go back and resume, and the boy that was healed. He was literally raised from the dead and healed, would become the bishop's successor. And so, but that's where and how September 8th became recognized as the birthday of Mary. Now, this whole thing about, and this makes the third place, because you mentioned about Medjugorje before, and we've debated that one before. And there was another place where apparently Mary had, you know, August the 5th, and now I'm now hearing this place. So that would make three, and so,
well,
and this one is church.
Right. Think about that. What are the odds that she would tell visionaries that August 5th is her birthday? I mean, you know, she's telling, I mean, this is coming from Mary herself. She ought to know when her birthday is. And she's telling them in several continents, you know, around the world, that August 5th is her birthday. Now, she's not saying that you need to go change it in the church. She's not arguing or trying to stir up trouble, but she's just telling them, hey, tomorrow's my birthday. Let's have a party and celebrate. And she did the same thing in Medjugorje. She did the same thing here in Cuenca, Ecuador. And so I thought that was highly unlikely it would happen by chance. Not only that she would say that, but that she would ask for the same kind of celebration and even dress the same in both stories, continents apart without any knowledge of each other. So compare that to a vision of... I'm not done. So compare Mary's words in several apparitions saying this compared to a vision a man had, hearing angels sing and thinking that meant it was Mary's birthday. Now, I'm just saying I would put money on Mary's words first and foremost, and I'm not trying to cause trouble, but I'm just saying I would bank that Mary knows what she's talking about.
Well,
John, could these dates have anything to do with the fact that during the time of Christ, the Roman Empire was using the Julian calendar, and it wasn't until It wasn't until later that they switched to a different calendar.
Possible.
The Gregorian.
I'd like someone to figure that one out.
Because if you remember, December was the 10th month and the last month of the year. It comes from the Latin decem, which means 10. And they added July and August in honor of Julius and Augustus Caesar. So they had 12 months
like
instead
to
of...
See. I would love to hear a connection that could show this tie together. That would be interesting in my mind.
Yeah,
but
it would.
At this point, it would be very interesting. And so that would be something maybe we can investigate. But at the same time, though, at this point in time, though, I don't want anybody right now. The church recognizes September 8th. We celebrate Mary's birthday, September 8th. So. What all this and how this all entails, I don't think that Mary would be trying to be causing any kind of a issue here. I don't think she would be
not.
Doing that.
We're all celebrating. When we all wind up in heaven, we'll celebrate her birthday on the same date.
Right.
So who's arguing?
Well,
and since there is no time in heaven, how does the angels in heaven know what day it is if there's no time in heaven? Everything is now.
Oh, I see.
So, we have a lot of questions anyways. But don't worry, everybody.
I think the
We're
issue
just
of,
raising questions and letting you think about it.
I just think, though, that the difference in calendars and difference in time, there could be something to that more than meets the eye. I don't know. And that would be interesting to see there. So let's get Kathy.
Right,
Kathy, what do you think about all this? What do you think of this?
So I think probably you got to take the Hebrew calendar into account too.
I love it.
So
13 months.
So
in
it could be. So right now the question about whether the all through whether the Hebrew calendar the Julian calendar and the Gregorian calendar and whatever else could be. I'm going to investigate this. Kathy
Yay,
from
good.
Jefferson City, what do you think about this?
I have no idea.
That was safe.
I didn't
I love
realize
it.
There was You're two
thinking
days.
Just think what our phones would have to do with all those different calendars floating around.
Yeah.
Right. Well, Donald,
well, let's
I'm
get
glad
the,
you're going to research that. We need someone to research that. So.
I want to get Doc, what do you think about this?
I want to know where I can get some of that oil, to be perfectly honest. Cures pains and ailments. I want to take a bath in it. Hey, I do have a question, though, a serious question. Have they done any scientific study on the human cell?
On the what?
I didn't get to ask that last time.
That might be listening in tomorrow night, because tomorrow night we got a Eucharistic miracle that a lot of scientific research was done on. So tomorrow night, be back here tomorrow night for that, because that might because I think these can apply when you're talking about science and these matters, the blood being AB positive and had only one DNA, only the mother but no father. There's so many things.
No, I'm talking about
the
cells that they found in the oil and in the blood. Have they done any more scientific study on those cells?
Not that I know of. Not that I've heard. I'm sure they did, but I'm not aware of it yet.
I'd like to know that.
Yeah, that would be.
I find that just extraordinary, you know.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I'd wonder what human cells were doing in that oil, too. So that is very interesting. All right. Well, guys,
and I wasn't kidding. I'd like to get some of that.
just don't get it mixed up with the oil you put in your car.
No. I'd rather
place
it for this
one. You know, Doc, there was an apparition somewhere where I can't remember, but a statue of Mary exuded oil, and I sent off. Asked them, would they send me some oil? And they sent me back this little cotton piece just soaked in oil.
Damascus, Syria.
Mass hysteria?
No, Damascus.
I don't know. I mean.
No, I'm telling you. There was a statue in Damascus, Syria that exuded oil.
Oh, okay. I didn't understand what you said.
Yeah. But it's happened.
I've had an extraordinary number of injuries in my life, and it's a medical wonder that I'm able to function at all, that I'm not bedridden. And, yeah, anything like that, I would jump on it just for a moment's release.
Yeah.
Wow.
Well, they do ship Lourdes water. All right, so guys, we're at the end of our time. Next week we will return to Cuenca, Ecuador for more. We're getting there, but more to come. And as always, we ask for the world out there that we know is listening, because every time we've checked, they are definitely tuned in. We ask for everyone out there to join with me in a Hail Mary. And please, let's pray for peace. Let's pray for healing. Let's pray for everyone to keep praying. And how powerful prayer is, especially the rosary, the weapon against Satan. So join with me now, and as we all do this together, our voices will unite as one from all around the world at once, which is really amazing when you think about it. And all our voices will rise to heaven, and our prayers will go to heaven with it. So join with me now. Hail Mary, full of grace.
Full of grace.
The Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. And blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary,
Mother of God.
Pray for us sinners.
Now and at the hour of our death.
Amen.
Amen. And God bless every one of you who tuned in tonight. We hope and pray that this show has meant something to you, that has piqued your interest, that you come back again. We get nothing out of it other than the joy of sharing this marvelous information and hoping that it inspires souls out there to stay on their find maybe a better direction if they're not on it. And perhaps your understanding of these supernatural appearances from heaven will be inspiring to you all. Thank you, team. You're wonderful. It makes the show so much more interesting to get your feedback and your conversation. And we always have some interesting debates, and that's fine, because a lot of people out there may have the same questions and thoughts. So we appreciate everyone's input. And Donald, good for you. You're healing. You're back. Donald's back. And we're glad. So thank you.
I think I am.
Co-host,
I think I am. I'm feeling. I think so. And I would like to ask Kathy to do your thing in Latin. Would you go ahead and do that Latin for us, too? That would be awesome, because then English and then Latin as well.
Yes, I can do the Our Father, the Hail Mary, and the Glory Be. Domine Patris et Spiritus Sancti. Amen. Pater Noster, qui es in celi, sanctificetur nomen tuum, adveniat regnum tuum, fiat voluntas tua, sicut in cielo et in terra. Panem nostrum quotidianum da nobis hodie, et dimitte nobis debite nostra, sicut et nos dimittimus debitoribus nostris. And in nos indicas in tentationem, se libera nos de malo. Amen. Ave Maria, gratia plena Dominus tecum, benedicta tua Maria, erbusca benedictus, fructus ventris tui, Iesum. Sancta Maria, Mater Dei, ora pro nobis, peccatoribus, nunc et in hora mortis nostre. Amen. Gloria Patri, Filio, Spiritui Sancto, sicut in erat et in principio, et nunc et semperi secula, seculorum. Amen. Nomini Patri, Filii, Spiritus Sancti. Amen.
That is, amen. I love all this. Great show tonight, everybody. Great. And and I will. I'm going to investigate this thing about the difference in calendars, and you know, see what how we can look at this. If there's anything that can be bridged, because right now the church's calendar is September 8th, and that's important. And so this thing about it, to be technically, I mean, hey, if you want to celebrate it every day, I don't see there's anything really wrong about that either. You want to celebrate Mary's birthday every day, but you know, technically.
Well, Donald,
yeah.
Just remember, the church's official position was against Galileo. You know, I mean, it happens. You know, on matters of faith, you know, the church is it's infallible, but on some of the technical stuff, humans make mistakes. You know?
Amen.
Yeah.
I trust Our Lady.
Well, I trust Our Lady, too.
Yeah.
But at the same time, I trust the Catholic Church. I trust, and Our Lady trusts, Our Lady is the mother of the church. So the head and the body is going to be united.
Well, you know, I've heard the old saying, humans make mistakes. Amen or oh me.
All right. Good night, everyone.
Good night.
Good night.
Good night, everyone.
Night.
See you tomorrow night. Good night.
I keep a close watch on this heart of mine. I keep my eyes wide open all the time. I keep the ends out for the tie that binds. Because you're mine, I walk the line.
Truth is a fine line. Deeper Truth is an even finer line. When we decided to call ourselves Deeper Truth, we knew the obligations that name would put upon us. We wanted our readers and listeners to be always confident. Whenever you tuned into a program with a Deeper Truth logo, that is exactly what you got. Deeper Truth. From Journey with Mary with John Carpenter on Sundays to the Eucharistic Miracles with Dr. Gregory Thompson on Mondays, you learned you were never alone. That heaven is only a prayer away. It is a sacred obligation week after week to bring you not just the truth, but the deeper truth. And that is why
I keep a close watch on this heart of mine. I keep my eyes wide open all the time. I keep the ends out for the tie that binds. Because you're mine, I walk the line.
Johnny Cash came out with I Walk the Line in 1956, and that was the very year I was born, 1956. So I've been walking that line thanks to my mother and through His Holy Catholic Church ever since. And so I want to encourage everyone to be back tomorrow night, same bat time, same bat station, as we go with Dr. Gregory Thompson and Eucharistic Miracles. Oh, it's going to be a good one, and there will be some science involved. So good night, everybody. God bless.